How do you do? Have you ever had a car that was totaled where fixing it would cost more than it was worth? Well, the man in this story felt that way about himself, and so did most everyone who knew him. They thought he was broken beyond repair, totaled. He was left on the junkyard of life until his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Lighting the darkness with true life stories that share the good news, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. In a world grown increasingly dark and cruel, an act of kindness becomes a moment of truth. At Pacific Garden Mission, where the doors never close and no one is turned away, kindness is a way of life, a way of sharing the truth that love never fails. Kindness is reflected in every smile that greets the homeless, in the shiny floors and clean bunks, in every nourishing meal, every change of clothing that's offered, and all without charge. Kindness is found in the medical and dental care given freely to those without means, in the classes and counseling that help to turn lives around. The old lighthouse has been in the heart of Chicago for 121 years to rescue the perishing with the love of God that never fails. Every life saved is truly a miracle, like the man in this story. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2516 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
He'll never survive. It must be 100 feet to the water. Maybe we can save him, but I doubt it.
There he is. Slow down.
Can you reach him?
Yes, but I can't pull him in.
Let me grab him.
Is he alive?
Can't tell. I'll try CPR while you get us to the dock.
Okay.
Get on the horn and tell the police to send the paramedics.
Okay, he's coming out of it. What's your name, sir?
George.
How old are you, George?
49.
You know, you're lucky to be alive. We almost lost you twice last night. We decided to try one more time to bring you back. If that didn't work, we were going to let you go.
Are you crazy? I can't believe you let me live.
You don't want to give up yet.
I don't want to live.
Hey, don't you pull out those tubes. Tie his arms tighter.
Please, just let me die.
The man in our story had many achievements in sports, and he worked hard to succeed in life. But when he jumped from that bridge, he had long since lost everything of value. This wasn't his first attempt at suicide, and it wouldn't have been the last, except for someone who did not give up on him. This is the true story of George Pickering right now on Unshackled.
I was born in New Jersey in 1942. My father returned from the war when I was 4 years old, a hopeless and out-of-control drunk. He accused mother of having an affair with his brother and stabbed my uncle to death with a knife. I watched him wallowing in his blood as he slowly died in our kitchen. My father went to prison, but after a year and a half, he came home for a weekend furlough, and during an argument, he beat my mother with a wrench right in front of my sister and me. Someone called the police, and mother was taken away in an ambulance.
Hey, somebody calm that girl down! She's having a major breakdown! Yeah, looks like a homicide. You know, I don't expect that woman to live for tonight!
For some months, I lived with relatives who were abusive, and I went catatonic. They put me in a state home for more than a year. During that time, I never saw my sister. And all that time, I thought mother was dead. No one told me she was alive and in the hospital for 18 months. We were all reunited when I was 7 and a half. I never saw my father again, but the neighbors didn't let us forget.
Why don't you go outside and play, George?
I don't wanna.
It's a nice afternoon, and you don't have to be at your scout meeting for another hour.
I don't want to go out there. I hate those stupid boys.
Why?
You know why.
Well, just ignore them, George.
One of them said I was crazy like my daddy. I'm not crazy.
You're an intelligent boy, George Pickering. Don't you ever forget it.
It ain't fair, Mom. Most of them won't even play with me. They call me Killer Son.
I'm sorry, son. It's not your fault.
I'm never going to drink, Mom. Never going to be like him.
Good, son.
Someday, people are going to respect the Pickering name. I don't care how long it takes.
In junior high, I discovered a way to get revenge on everyone who made fun of me in the past. I would beat them in sports. By the time I was in high school, I was an overachiever, playing football, gymnastics, and cross country. I worked hard to win awards. I was the captain of a wrestling team, and no one could beat me, not even a coach. My best friend was completely different from me, but he accepted me, and he never wanted anything from me.
How does it feel to beat the coach, George?
It's great. Gives you confidence. You know what I mean?
Well, I was never very good at sports.
But I like to win and show those smart-aleck kids who think they're really hot. I'm just as good as they are, even if I do live in Kramer Hill.
Hey, we're all the same in God's eyes.
Bob, I keep telling you, there is no God.
Where do you think you got all your athletic ability?
Hey, I worked hard, and someday I'm really going to show them all.
You probably will.
I mean it. I've been studying how to eat properly. You know, which fork to use and all that.
I guess eating hoagies isn't very good training.
Well, you know how those snobs are, especially on the rowing team. Next award banquet, I'll know what to do.
I'll bet you showed them at the last one.
Well, I showed them all right. I showed them what a boob I am. I hate having people look down on me, though, you know?
Hey, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? Nobody will look down on you there.
Nah. I don't go for religion. I believe in myself. Actually, I went to church with him a few times just out of friendship. But my thoughts were somewhere else. By then, I was deeply involved in gangs in my neighborhood. I rode a motorcycle, got into lots of fights, and sold drugs to make money. But I never drank or used drugs. I loved to shock my friend Bob with tales of all my exploits while we ate lunch at the hoagie shop. I wanted to shake his belief in God.
How was your weekend?
Oh, wild. You wouldn't believe some of the things that went on.
More fights?
That goes without saying. There's a fight every night somewhere. We just ride around till we find one, or make one.
Yeah, I guess fighting is human nature.
I joined a motorcycle gang, too.
Now, how did that happen?
I fought with one of them and won. Man, there's some bad dudes in those gangs. And you know what? They swap women the way they swap jokes. And I figure, why not?
Hey, this kind of lifestyle will get you into trouble, George.
You know, some of those guys even sacrifice animals.
Demon worship? Man, that's awful.
Yeah, it's weird stuff. But who cares?
God does. There is a God, George, and he cares.
There were two sides of me in high school, the gang member and the boy who wanted to succeed. I joined the debating team, chess team, and was on the student council. I looked for ways to win awards and won 4 national championship medals in rowing. I tried to look strong and act tough, but inside I felt hollow. I won a college scholarship, and it was there that I fell in love.
I'm really glad you don't drink, George. So many students do. They think it's cool.
I vowed a long time ago I'd never touch this stuff. I want to make something of my life.
You can, with God's help.
I'll do it on my own.
Does anybody in your family know the Lord?
Nope. My grandfather wouldn't even let us talk about God. I went to church once or twice with a friend in high school, but, you know, religion just leaves me cold.
Why don't you believe in God?
How could there be a God with all the horrible things that go on in the world? I mean, what kind of a God would allow stuff like that to happen?
Bad things happen because people don't follow the Lord. We need him.
Not me.
George, I love the Lord. I can't spend my life with someone who doesn't believe in him.
But I love you, Amy. I promise to take good care of you.
I know you do, and I love you too, George. But it wouldn't work. It's better if we break up now.
Heartbroken, I dropped out of school, got drafted, and spent 2 years in the Army. Back home again, I met another girl in a bar. We loved to dance with each other and spending time together. We were married within a year. I worked hard and tried to be a good father, but nothing filled the emptiness inside that was always there. Then, 10 years into our marriage, a simple barbecue became a turning point. The host had nothing but beer, so I drank one. Didn't seem to hurt me, so I continued to drink occasionally. But after a while, it was every day because alcohol dulled the pain of life.
You're drinking an awful lot, George.
So what? I can handle it.
You know what it did to your father.
I'm not the same as my old man.
George, that much booze will ruin your insides if nothing else.
Lay off!
If you get into another fight, I'm going to leave without you.
Oh, fine, fine.
And you can sleep alone tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like sleeping with a drunk.
Alcohol took over my life. I hid bottles everywhere. I buried one in the garden with a straw sticking up so I could pretend to be weeding when I was actually drinking. On the wall of the garage, we had a hose coiled up that I filled with vodka so I could suck out a drink whenever I worked on the car. I hid them on the side of the road, under the car seat, and crawl spaces under the house. My marriage of 25 years was destroyed by my actions. It fell apart, and so did I.
George, go to AA or something.
Try going there and all that talk about a higher power. It's stupid.
I can't stand it anymore.
Oh, what do you mean?
Look at this mess you made. You were a man once. You're an animal now.
Hey, I don't have to take that from you.
Then leave. Just leave us alone.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you, Missy?
Yes. You're nothing but a drunk. You're just like your father.
You just shut up.
Stop it.
You shut up.
Get away from me. I hate you. And I wish you were dead.
I knew it was time to leave before I heard her. I had lost the respect of my daughters, lost my job, my paid-off home, everything I had worked for. I was on the streets, so I might as well be on drugs, too. I tried marijuana, then cocaine and heroin. With nothing to live for, and to escape the ugly pain of what I'd become, I swallowed 55 pills with a pint of vodka.
In a moment, we'll learn the results of this desperate act. Have you visited the old lighthouse recently? Well, we have a website now with all kinds of places to click and see what's happening. The address? www.unshackled.org. Now, some things you can do while you're there are send us a message online, browse through our radio station log to learn where Unshackled is broadcast, and you can even listen to an entire Unshackled program, selecting from a list of many stories. You can learn about the history of Pacific Garden Mission and details on all of our ministry outreaches. And here's what others say about our website. I live in Kagoshima City, Japan, and listen to your program via the Internet. Thank you so much for your Internet broadcasts. They are a real blessing. Visit us soon. The website address, www.unshackled.org. For more information, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
A friend found me unconscious and called an ambulance. That was my first attempt at suicide. Failure didn't improve my outlook or my relationship with others, as one by one, my friends and family abandoned me. I was glad Mother didn't see me hit bottom, but my sister did.
You look terrible, George. You're drunk again, aren't you?
You sound like my wife. Or should I say, my ex-wife.
Well, she wouldn't be your ex if you'd quit drinking.
Nah, it's over. She doesn't want me anymore. Told me to get out.
How can you drink like that? Don't you remember what it did to Dad?
I could never be like him.
You already are. She's afraid of you, and so are the girls. Go to rehab or AA.
I tried that. Doesn't help. I've been to so many rehabs, my head's spinning.
You don't want to quit.
That doesn't matter now. Who cares?
Your daughters care. You embarrass them, staggering around, fighting and swearing.
Well, I guess I'm just no good.
Not when you drink, George. Go on. Come back when you're sober.
Yeah. I was so discouraged that later on, I went into my sister's basement and hung myself. My niece found me and cut me down in time to save my life. They took me to a psychiatric hospital, after which I went right back to alcohol and heroin. Then I tried to hang myself in the backyard, but my daughter and a neighbor cut me down. Another trip to yet another psychiatric hospital, to no avail. I had to be free of the demons inside of me. That's when I jumped off the bridge in Atlantic City. Even at the hospital, I tried to hang myself with the bathrobe they gave me. I awoke to find myself strapped to a gurney with four-point restraints.
Hello, George. I'm sorry about the restraints, but we can't let you harm yourself.
Then get these tubes out of my arm, man.
If you cooperate, we will. Now, this isn't your first attempt, is it?
Not the last one, either. You're looking at a dead man.
Not if we can help it.
I'm no good to anybody.
You've tried rehab?
I've been through detox more than a dozen times, 6 rehabs, 3 mental hospitals.
Well, I'm afraid there's one more coming up. They're sending you to Ancora.
What's the point?
Rehabilitation, George.
Never happened.
Well, the end of the line is the new Lisbon State Home, but a judge would have to send you there.
Over my dead body.
George, what do you know about God?
I've read the Bible.
Well, look, I know a couple of places that have been able to help guys like you. They rely on God to fight alcohol and drug addiction. Are you willing to try?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay. One has a 6-week waiting list. But you can get into the other as soon as you're off medication. They won't take anyone who's still on drugs.
I lied about having read the Bible. Even though withdrawal was a nightmare, I began to fake taking my meds until I was free of them. I entered the first Christian rehab, but was scared to death of their prayers and worship and ran away, back to the streets, back to the alcohol. For a time, I broke into friends' houses and stole their booze. Then I got a part-time job at a junkyard and drank full-time to escape the memories.
There goes the killer's son. He's crazy. Stay away from him. Stay away from him.
I can't spend my life with someone who doesn't believe in God.
He's weird. Stay away from him. Stay away from him.
There is a God, George. There is a God.
You're just like your father. I hate you and wish you were dead.
It's not my fault.
There is a God. There is a God.
How could you let this happen to me, God? Huh?
I was drinking a half a gallon of whiskey a day, but shooting up drugs was out of the question because I couldn't stop shaking long enough to get the works in my arm. After 3 weeks of drinking 24/7, the other Christian rehab called and asked me if I was sober. Yeah, I slurred. They told me to be there by 3.
Hello?
Sis, it's me.
You're drunk.
Yeah, but I'm going into rehab. Yes, sirree, I'm going.
Fine, George.
I need a ride to this place. It's 45 miles away.
Call someone else.
I did. No one will take me.
Well, neither will I.
I gotta be there by 3.
Call your daughters.
I did. They hung up on me. They hate me, Nora. Said I was dead. Can you believe that?
What do you expect after the way you acted? Nobody trusts you, George. Nobody. You're on your own.
Nora, please. You... I staggered through a shower, packed a bag, and headed down the road on my Harley. I fell at least 5 times. 45 miles later, I pulled into the Bible Center. Where's the rehab?
You can't stay here if you come. You're drunk.
If you don't keep me, I'm going to drive my bike into the first car coming down the highway.
You rode that thing down here in your condition?
We better take him to detox. They know the rules.
Well, we could let him sleep it off.
Oh, we have to hide him somehow.
Please just let me die. Put me out of my misery.
All right, let's just put him to bed and let him sleep it off. Then we can decide what to do.
The next 6 days were horrible. I was physically ill, constantly, and shook uncontrollably. 2 big guys took care of me by day, and at night, an angel of mercy in her 70s stayed by my side.
Please, Lord, Save this man. Somehow get him through this awful time. Lord, you are so good and so kind. Help him to see how much he needs you. Break the stronghold, Lord, that has him so deceived. Please, Father, help him.
How's he doing?
Oh, still can't eat. Shakes all the time. Can't hold anything down.
God will help him.
God is the only one who can.
Yes.
Now, come on, George. Have a little soup.
No. George, put your faith in Jesus. He will be your strength. He will help you overcome and give you victory over alcohol.
If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
The prayers of the workers and their continued efforts to explain the scriptures began to penetrate my heart and mind. When the withdrawal ended, I went down to the chapel and got on my knees and cried out to God. I had had enough. Later, one of the counselors and I walked around the grounds for about 3 hours one day as he helped me to get assurance of my salvation.
George, let's walk over that way, through the trees.
I'm sure glad I can walk again without stumbling. And I'm glad you guys covered up for me. You know, otherwise I'd be dead by now.
You're in bad shape, or you're right.
I've been in bad shape ever since I was 7 years old. It was like a big hole inside that just kept getting bigger. But I don't feel that way anymore.
George, everyone who tries to live without the Lord has that hole inside. That's the reality of sin, being separated from God.
I didn't want anything to do with God. Always blamed him for the terrible things that happened when I was a kid.
Most people do. Funny, isn't it? If he's ultimately responsible, then why don't we go to him for help?
I wish I had.
God never gave up on you, George. He's not willing that any should perish.
It's hard to believe how low I sank.
Oh, you're no worse than anyone else. God says we're all sinners. There is none righteous. And James wrote that whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all.
I felt guilty of all. You know, I tried to commit suicide 4 times.
Satan was trying to destroy you. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
But there's just so much wrong in my life right now. My daughters won't have anything to do with me. I'm more than $100,000 in debt. I can't even keep a job. All my family and friends have given up on me.
God can change all that as you walk in obedience to his word.
I hope you're right.
That's why Jesus came, to rescue us from the power of sin and death. God says the penalty for sin is death. So Jesus, being God in the flesh, paid the penalty by dying in our place.
It's so hard to understand how his death covers my sin.
Okay, George. Suppose there were a rich man, rich enough to pay every debt that everyone in the world owed, okay? But you had to go to him and ask, please, pay my debt. And he does it, just because you ask, and just because he cares. Not because you've done anything to deserve it. That's grace.
That's what God did?
Yes. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. George, if you ever expect to have any kind of life, you must receive him as Lord and Savior.
I prayed in the chapel not long ago. Is that what you mean?
It's the blood of Christ Jesus that paid for your sins. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, to be born again, you need to ask Christ into your heart and life, George.
I want to do that.
All right. Then let's get down on our knees right now and pray.
We did, and my life has completely changed. Within 13 months, my debts were settled, and I enrolled in Bible college. I graduated in 1996. I'm doing graduate work while I pastor a small church in Pennsylvania. My daughters and I are friends again. I have learned never to give up, no matter how bad I think things are. There is always hope to those in Christ. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again, and if you ask his forgiveness, he will set you free of whatever has you bound. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Does that describe you, listening friend? If you are bound by sin, remember John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. To have that gift of salvation, pray with us right now. Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm lost without you. I want your gift of salvation. I believe you sent Jesus to die in my place, and that he rose from the dead, and that we might have eternal life. Thank you, God, for your grace and your love. Come into my life and make me like Jesus. If you prayed with us in faith, then hear and believe Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Let us know so we can rejoice and send you some literature to help you walk with the Lord. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. We're so glad you joined us for this broadcast. Tell the manager of this station that you listen and ask your friends to listen too. There's no better way to ensure the continuation of Unshackled. This is program number 2516. Heard in the true story of George Pickering were Rick Dianofsky, Tim Dadabo, Peter Zinn, Oksana Fedinushin, Mickey Hurd, and Kate Burns. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer Ed Webb, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Your letter is more important than you realize, so please write today. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Email is unshackled@pgm.org. Don't know which way to turn? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. Area 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.